So it's so nice to see you all here again tonight. And for those we don't see tonight, a few of them online, I think, that couldn't make it because of sick kids or even long distances. So it's been a long time before we got to this session. Took a lot of work, you see, to get ready for this women's side of the story. It's a lot easier to prepare for yourself than to prepare for the other side. But anyway, I'd like to start with the reading again of Ephesians 5. This time we will take those verses that are dealing with the subject of her role versus his role in marriage. So if you turn to Ephesians 5, and we'll begin with verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So let's seek the Lord together in prayer. Great God, as we again may be brought together here in safety tonight or listening at home, we pray that thou wilt fill us and guide us by thy dear Spirit. We've read thy word and we will consider together, Lord, what the word of God sets out before us tonight again in the relationship of our marriage life. We give thee thanks, O gracious Lord, for bringing us together in marriage life, having given us and kept us our spouse, as we may be here together with each other. And what a gift it is that thou hast given us, someone to share our life journey with. And Lord, all of us must confess at how deeply we come short of appreciating that gift while we have it. But may we also experience tonight that the teaching of thy word may enrich the blessings that thou hast given us. Lord, we've brought much sin also into the marriage life, and we have experienced that all of us, one way or the other, the fruits of it. We pray that thou bless us now, as we are willing and desirous to learn what thou hast to say also this evening on the subject of the woman's role, the wife's role in the marriage relationship. Lord, be mindful of all those who are struggling in their marriage, who are having hidden crosses in their relationship, who are missing the true and the exquisite joy of the oneness and the closeness, especially in the spiritual sense. So we read here in the scripture that marriage is meant to be a reflection of Christ and His church. O Lord, may each one of us experience that depth within our own relationship with each other. So hear us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's wonderful again to share some time together tonight. Remind you of the most important aspect of this evening is what? What's more important than being here? I've asked you this question every time, so I need to remind you of it each time again. It's doing your homework, at least to flesh out discussions and the details of your learning curve here into the practice of everyday life. And that's the hard work, I always say, because that's where here you sit nice and quiet. But when you do the homework, it may not always be so nice and quiet. It should be quiet, but it could be sometimes difficult. Now, remember last time I started with a story about, you know, these wheel bearings and the axle. And I've heard a lot of comments about from our men that really made a lot of sense to them. So I've been trying to find an example for the women, but I haven't found one yet. Except, of course, that you can't have the axle wheel without the wheel bearing, so that's important. But I was reminded of a conference I was once, where Pastor Jay Adams was the speaker. And he started the conference with a story that kind of resonated with me in this subject tonight. He says, you know, when we pastors get together, we do the same thing as what you farmers do when you get together. How's your farm going? So what we would ask ourselves is, how's your church going? Right? And so Pastor Adams explained, he says, that's what the question we always ask. And one of these attendees says, oh, my church is doing great, Pastor. Really? How is it doing so well? How do you measure that? Extra members? You know? Budget is being able to make the budget? No, he said this answer. Our women are content and happy in the place where God has placed them according to His Holy Scriptures. And Pastor Adams says, it took me a little while to process that answer. And really, what a beautiful answer that is. If our women are happily content with the place that God has given them in marriage and in the church, that means that the men are doing something good too. Yeah, and that is a key also as we again look at the subject tonight. Now, if that's not the case in Walpan, that our women are not happy and content in the place that they are, then there's something wrong what we're doing, I suppose, as the greasers of the wheel bearing. Yeah, but it could also be a problem of the women. So in all fairness, it could be on both sides of the problem. Right? And if husbands are to show unconditional love in gentle leadership with a servant-like attitude, then what are the women supposed to show according to the scriptures that we just read? It is unconditional submission and reverence. And indeed, if we as husbands, and just a moment again to us men, if we show the Christ-like love and ministry and the attitude of humility, our women are going to fall for us. They're going to say the same thing as the Song of Solomon bride said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is better than ointment. It's his character. Yeah, she will come to you. Now, that's an exciting way of meeting your wife, isn't it? When she would come to you like that. Well, the key is you. If you are indeed such a Christ-like husband, then the women will respond generally. Now, really, I say generally, of course, because our women are just as us. We're sinful. So ladies, what is the way to a man's heart? I've asked a lot of ladies this question, and they kind of look at me like, we know the opposite question. What's the way to a man's heart? Food. Okay. Now, there's probably other ways to answer that, too. And I'm not speaking here about just the human heart, I mean the stomach heart. That is one way. But also, we think about the man as the husband with his sexual needs. Well, then you know that your beauty is one way to his heart. But that's not really his heart. The heart is much deeper than that. I mean, our physical heart is, and our biological heart and our testosterone heart is not really our heart, is it? So what is the way to have our heart open up to you? Because that's really what you want, right? We want you as our wife to open up your heart to us, and we've learned that that's unconditional servanthood, love. But now, what's the way to open up our heart to you? That's respect. Unconditional respect. Let's add that word to it as well. And again, isn't it beautiful how Ephesians 5 keys into that? God is the designer of marriage. God is the designer of the male and the female. And you remember from Genesis 1, it's not just male and female. The word is masculinity and femininity. God is the designer of these two aspects of the human race. And what is our primary need as a woman? Love. And what kind of love? Unconditional love. Yeah? Not by the point system, but unconditional. So what is the primary emotional need for a man? And strangely, perhaps we women think, well, that's sexual. Men are sex-driven creatures. Well, that's a lot of truth to that. Yeah, already before our birth, we men are producing 10% more testosterone in our hormones before we're born already. So yeah, we are hardwired that way by our Creator. But that's really not the most important primary emotional need that we guys need. It's respect. Notice the two key words in Ephesians 5 for our women's task. Verse 22, submission. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. And in verse 33, the second key word, that's the reverence or respect her husband. It's interesting that those same two words you find in 1 Peter 3 verse 1 and 7. Women, submit yourself even unto those husbands that are froward. And also verse 7, the reverence. So, a woman is entitled to unconditional love. A man is entitled to unconditional submission and respect. And these are hard words to think about, unconditional. Some of us are a little fearful about that word. Although you have no difficulties, ladies, to require from us unconditional love. You have comfort with that thought, don't you? Very much so. But now let's turn the coin around, and how about unconditional respect? It feels a little different, doesn't it? Because especially if you don't act very respectful, I mean, as we don't act very respectful as a husband. Unconditional means not based on his performance, not based on point systems. Is that hard? I even would say it's impossible to have unconditional respect to a man who perhaps isn't always so respectable. And that's why, at the very beginning of our talk tonight, let's face the reality. This is impossible if you do not have the grace of Christ living in your heart. Yeah? We're not pulling ourselves here up for all kinds of self-improvement courses, friends. That will never bring you anywhere. If we do not have a living relationship where we look by faith upon what Christ is and who He is, and fetch our strength and resources by grace out of Him, this is impossible. Now, let's look tonight at this biblical submission and respect. What does the word submit mean? The word submit is a military term. To place yourself under. It's a military term. It's nothing to do with inferiority. Yeah? General and captain and sergeant, I'm just going to do my Stratego game. It's about all the ranks I know. Yeah, the one is below the other, but is the one inferior to the other? We don't think that way when we think about military. Yeah, we should also not think that way when we think about submission. It is not an inferior, but it is a different position. That is contrary to how our world defines the women's position. Yeah, what does the world say? It's slavery, it's drudgery, it is a life burial in diapers and dishes. You know, what is there to womanhood? If you are thinking about it from the world's perspective, they make it look like a loss of talents and a career women. And those are the ones, right? Those are the people that really have made it. Now, that's totally wrong. But that is what the impression that our world is giving us when we think about the word submission. Imagine that I would say that all the foot soldiers and the infantrymen in the army are inferior soldiers. What would they call me? Some kind of a racist or so? I mean, those are the foot soldiers, the infantry, it's the heart of the battle. The generals are sitting down there in their bunkers telling everything what to do are important too. But the ones who are really on the ground are indispensable. So that's the word submit. If you wrote on your outline, the word submit means I embrace my position in the God-assigned rank under my husband. That is submission. Now, when we embrace God's authority structure in civil life, in society, church and in family life, what do we get? We get happiness. We fight the authority, we fight the ranking in our society, we will not experience God's blessing. I like the definition of Gotthard. Submission is the freedom to be creative with your talents and your gifts under the divine appointed authority. When you are a submissive woman, you put all your talents and all your abilities, all your resources, all your energy at your husband and your family's disposal. That's submit. You give yourself into that position with everything you have been given by God in and through your experience and in and through the way He has created you. So your ideas, your intelligence, your wisdom, your energy, your creativity, your business sense, your financial capabilities, whatever you have, all that is going to be submitted. It's been given to that cause that God has brought you in when you married the man you married. Now, let's look at the word reverence. That's the word for respect, the word honor, the word of high esteem. In the Bible, this word is consistently used for the fear of God. Yeah, the reverence that we show to God, that word, if you have that in your mind, then you have an idea of what the word reverence means. So when God says, the wife, see that she reverence her husband. If you put the two together, submission and reverence, then submission is the joyful acceptance of the position God gave you, and reverence is the godly expression of that position. Now, they are related, the two. The one is you take that position, and in the reverence you, in a godly way, express that respect in the ways that we're going to look at in a moment, what would be most beneficial. Now, I already said that respect is man's primary emotional need. Matter of fact, it is the male's love language more than sexual things. That may be a surprising statement to some of you ladies. But respect is ranked higher in all surveys among men than having sexual satisfaction. And perhaps you can yourself think through that. Why is that? Well, let's do a little revelation of ourselves. Our male ego is not quite as big as you make it look like. Yeah, you don't have to comment on this. We are much frailer than most people think we are. Yeah, if you think back of your children, the loudest and the roughest boys are usually the most fragile. But they put a shell around themselves. They hide it a little bit. And they become quite boisterous. Now, these boisterous and bulky and braggy men that often turn into these big adults are still quite fragile. About what? About being respected. We boys also want respect more than cuddles. What do the girls like? They like cuddles. What do the men like? The boys like? They like wrestling. And they want to show you that we're strong. Right? They want to show you that they're best at basketball and whatever they are. That's why is that? Respect grid. We think as guys through the respect grid, not through the love grid. Of course we do need love. As much as you need respect and love, so do we need it all. But the common thing that we need as men is respect. It was interesting that there was a research done. Men were asked two questions. What do they rather have? To be left alone and unloved, or to feel inadequate and disrespected? What do you rather have? To feel left alone and unloved, or to feel inadequate and disrespected, and the vast majority chose the second one. Yeah, that is, not the second one, the first one. Yeah, they rather felt unloved and left alone than to feel inadequate and disrespected. So women, now you know how you can break us down. Now you know, we've given you the key to how you break us down the quickest is by showing us disrespect and contempt. That's also the way to close our heart. The same as we close your heart and we don't show unconditional love and affection in the proper way. Then your heart gets closed. Our male heart gets closed by disrespect and contempt. It will break down your relationship. You destroy the closeness. So let me picture for a moment what happens when you begin to speak in a disrespectful way and have a contempt in your voice and in your manners. You break our honor code. And what do most men do? At least they learn to do that quick enough. We don't want to fight physically with you ladies or even verbally. Most of us, we get a little quieter and quieter and we withdraw and we step away and we even walk away. Why is that? Because we can't handle this. We can handle a lot, but we can't handle that. Yeah? So maybe this explains why sometimes men love to go to work much more than they being at home. Why is that? What they get at work? Get respect. Their boss never yells at them as their wife does sometimes. And so they love work because they get appreciation, they get respect, they're being valued for their skills, and obviously that is not only in their paycheck, but in the environment. And then they come home and they get this disrespect that closes their heart, makes them leave, makes them step away. So this is what common is our reaction. In the research, 81% of the conflicts that men have with their spouse, men feel disrespected. Even though the issue that you as a woman may raise is perfectly legitimate, if it is done in a disrespectful way, it is utterly destructive and useless, because it shuts us down rather than opens up. And you do the same. If we do not show you the unconditional love and give you the affection and the tenderness that you need, you also close up and step away and hold yourself away from us. So you look how the designer has just designed this again so beautifully. Again then, submission and reverence does not exclude love to your husband, obviously. But yet, God's direction in this chapter is clear. Notice it doesn't say at all here, wives, love your husbands. Does that mean that you don't have to love us? Of course we do. But God knows that we need respect more than love as a male. That has to do with our ego as being a leader, a provider, a protector, you know, the strong person. And when we don't feel that respect, we crumble. Now, the harder part, of course, is this word unconditional. I know that is a hard word. I hear you think, what if my husband doesn't deserve my respect? Let me turn it around. What if you don't reserve our love? You still want it? Yeah. It goes for both sides of the story, honestly. But you say, he's so hard to please and to get along with, and his character traits and his mannerisms are atrocious and hurtful and belittling and degrading. How can you ask me to respect him unconditionally? Good question. I don't really ask you to do that. A husband can't demand it either. But it is God's will. He said this. Let the wife submit herself and let her reverence her husband. Yeah, it is hard. Listen to this. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, what kind of husbands were he talking about? They were unbelievers. And maybe these husbands were hostile. Maybe they were rough, cruel, rude, whatever. Peter says, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, that they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So, fair is fair. Unconditional love stands over unconditional respect. Now, let's go to the second part. More details. What does this submission and reverence look like? Now, let me first remind you, women, that this is a position of honor. Peter recognizes that when Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:7 that he says, husbands, likewise, live with your wife according to knowledge, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. That word honor is the same word reverence in Ephesians 5. So we are also to show respect, reverence, honor to the wife. And how is that? Because, women, you have the queen of callings. I want to just lift up for a moment this calling of the wifehood. You are the queen of callings. Did you know that you are the crowning act of God's creation work? Huh? You ever thought about yourself that way? God is finishing everything up to Adam. And then he adds the crowning piece. And he called her Eve. That's you, ladies. You're the crowning piece in this fabric of the human society. Yeah, God made Eve to partner with Adam in the task to subdue and to manage and to rule the earth. On your outline, I've quoted you 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7. The woman is the glory of the man, Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, most of us read this text negatively. Oh, yeah, these women are created for the man. It's negative. Yeah, we are for the glory of the man. Negative. It's not. It's positive. You are the ornament, is what the word glory meant. You're the ornament of the man. Yeah, your influence and your position is the place of honor, and you really are not to glorify man. That only goes to God. But you are the glory of the man. You were made to be an ornament in his life. And compare that indeed also to Christ. He, as the mediator, he brings honor and glory to his Father in and through his position as mediator. And so you as wife. Now, secondly, no one has a greater influence on the heart of this man. Let me ask, to be asked the Vice President of the United States is an honor or a dishonor? In general. Is it an honor or a dishonor to be asked to become the Vice President of this country? That's an honor. Well, is it an honor to become the Vice Husband of your husband? Huh? You are the Vice Husband. The mayor, at the moment, Mike Pence, is the Vice President of Donald Trump. So as a wife, you are the Vice Husband. That's an honor. That's why God made you out of a rib, not out of a toe bone. To make realize that you are so important to the heart of this man that if you don't have a rib cage, his lungs and heart won't survive very long. Imagine playing basketball without a rib cage. You don't want to do anything without a rib cage. You're not going to survive. Now, that's how important you are to the survival of us men. An honorable position. So nothing inferior about this position of submitting to your husband. Your position is to break or to make the man. Again, ladies, you have the queen of callings, and your influence upon the man next to you does more to shape the world than the man next to you has on shaping the world. Now, did you hear that? Because ladies often forget this. But when you are a wife according to the heart of God, you are having a position in which you influence the world more than what you realize. If I think about my own life, who were the greatest shapers of my character? Now, although my dad is a hero, he was not the greatest shaper of my character. It was my mother. And she got one quarter of the way, and Michelle is trying to finish up the three quarters of the way along the rest of my journey of my life. You see, what her influence upon me as a male and as a man is unbelievably big. She interfaces, she knows, she corrects, she encourages, she nurses, she shapes the character. Therefore, Proverbs 31, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. As a woman, you are close and intimate, and you interface with a man if he, of course, lets you, and if you know how to open his heart. That doesn't always happen. So therefore, important what we're doing tonight is to understand how you can open that heart and begin to influence this man next to you. You've heard before that statement, "See who rocks the cradle rocks the world." Well, you can also say, "See who shapes the man shapes the world." I'm not talking about this bulging belly of him. Yeah, I'm talking about the influence that you have upon the men and the boys and the girls, of course, that you raise. So keep pointing it out to your young men that the woman they're going to embrace will either be the beginning or the ending of their life story. And they better be reminded of that. Now, again, it takes a lot more strength than having good intentions. You need here, again, the grace of God to overcome all what comes against it. Now, secondly, Submission and reverence is the beauty of respectful service. Let me just for a moment begin with saying what that not is. What is respectful service not? And there are four things that are very clear. I'll make that brief. It's not being less than man. I wrote the word from Luke 2, verse 51 behind that. For you find the word submit in this sentence. And think about the importance of this sentence. And Jesus became subject unto them. Jesus became subject to Joseph and Mary. The word subject is the word that here is in Ephesians 5. Now, was Jesus inferior to Joseph and Mary? No. But for the time being, he took the position of submission to his own earthly father and mother. So don't ever think that being submissive and having a respectful attitude is being less than man. Number two, doesn't mean always agree with Mr. Perfect. Yeah, I've heard that joke, of course. When I married, I thought his name was Wright, but now I discovered he's always right. No, we men are not infallible. We're not superheroes. We are what we are. We're sinners. You married a sinner. And you've married a sinner who has a history before him. And that history is going to influence us every day of our life, in our adult life. More than what we realize. So that doesn't mean that you have to keep your mouth shut. We need the vice husband, don't we? We need people to hold us accountable. A vice leader is someone who depends on others, not on himself. A wise leader says, look, I need you. I put it this way, we need more than a 2x2 as a husband. We need a 4x4. Now, what do I mean with a 2x2 and a 4x4? Do you get it? A 2x2 is two eyes and two ears. But I need a 4x4. I need four eyes and four ears. And the other two extra ears and eyes is my wife. And I would be an utterly foolish leader if I only lived by a 2x2. I need a 4x4. So you therefore need to speak, ladies. Number three is therefore don't keep your mouth shut before Mr. Leader. Submission does not mean you don't have an opinion. Submission does not mean you're not allowed to articulate your opinion. Submission does not mean that you can't share your feelings and your insights and your talents and your intuition. Can I read to you chapter 4, verse 15 for a moment out of Ephesians? And by the way, that comes before the marriage chapter, so that's part of it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, women, you don't have to answer me, but do your husband always act like a grown-up do? Don't have to answer me. But I know the answer. Do husbands always look like grown-ups? No. Do they always act like grown-ups? No. So who's going to help them grow up? Speaking the truth in love. That is what you are for, vice wife. Yeah, vice husband, I should say. Not wife. Vice husband. You are there to help him grow up. So therefore, submissive does not mean that you always have to have your mouth closed. Obviously, you'll have to do it in the right way when you open your mouth. Chapter 6, let no corrupting communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That also applies to the marriage life. And boy, when I begin to disrespectfully talk to my husband, is that going to be upbuilding him? Or is that going to corrupt him? So you see how that verse dovetails also in chapter 5. Now, number four, being a respectful and a submissive wife does not mean do the laundry, cook the dinner, and go to bed with Mr. King whenever he wants to. I'll say it very bluntly. That is not what a submissive and respectful wife necessarily looks like. Helpmeet is not just you are my salad dressing, or you're my pretty wallflower on the house, or you're my servant. Yes, you are a vital pillar of support as a woman. And men, just a moment to you, Don't allow your woman to become intellectually stagnated. Don't allow her to shrivel up in your journey as a husband. Don't allow her just never to develop beyond what she is. If you come back to the book of Proverbs and you read Proverbs 31 and you say, shoot, man, I wish my wife was like that. You probably didn't really mean that when you said that. Because I'm not so sure that you want your wife to go out and buy a field on her own and come back home and say, I just bought 10 acres today. I'm not sure you want that, do you? You don't even allow her to buy a car, let alone a piece of land. But why is that woman doing that in Proverbs 31? Because that's the virtuous woman. She does all that kind of stuff. How does she get that way? Where do you find a woman like that? That's the question. Where do you find a woman that virtuous? You find them nowhere. You make them. That is through our influence, our culturing, our nurturing. I'm not quite there yet. Michelle hasn't bought 10 acres yet. So I have a little way to go, but do you understand the feeling? This is what our interaction must do to our life, and therefore when you look at these four no's of what it does not mean, let us please keep that in mind. Now, what does it then practically mean to show respectful service? Here we get to some of the nuts and bolts tonight. First of all, to show respectful service means to show respect by communication of your admiration and your desire for him. You know, when the Song of Solomon writes, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Your love is better than anything this world gives me. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name, thy character, your presentation is as ointment poured forth. And listen to chapter 2, verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. What is the bride doing in that song? Is she buttering up her husband? Yeah, in a certain way she is. And believe me, that made him feel really good. She's admiring him. Was she without fault? Uh-uh. You go read to the rest of the book. Solomon is not without faults. There comes a moment he comes jumping over the mountains, and he comes to the door, and he comes to the lattice of the window, and he looks to her, and what does he find? He finds a very unresponsive wife. And he says, why are you hiding in the clefts of the rock? Why are you not coming forward? Let's go out in the field. The summer is there. Let's go. And he says, no, I'm not going. There's foxes out there. So he's not a perfect man. And we know that. Solomon was not a perfect man. But she's speaking very beautifully, communicating her admiration and desire for her. Are you assuring your husband often that he's the best husband that there is? Now, maybe you say you have to lie then, because he's not the best husband. Well, then find something that he's the best in and begin to praise him for that. Yeah, I have a wife who's praising me a lot. I probably need a lot of it. And so she gives me a lot of it, but it makes me feel good. I'll be honest with you. She admires and she respects and she says that to me. And that's what we need as men. Because we think to the respect grid, don't we? So think of some specific characters. I'm sure you can make a whole list of all the weaknesses of your man, of your husband, I mean. But now make a list. Begin to make a list of the things you say, hey, he's good at that. Then express it. That's how you show respect. You make him feel special. Consciously plan something how you can make him feel special. Think about how could you pamper him. I'm not here making a case for myself, okay? Because my wife does this actually occasionally to me, more than occasionally. So I'm not saying I'm asking for this. But sometimes when you make a special dessert that he just loves, or you do a certain activity, or you prepare some special things, you make the home, or you make yourself attractive. We husbands, we appreciate that. That's how you show respect. That's how you show respect to who we are as a male. So when there's little respect to show because you feel lots of things are wrong, then begin with the little and begin to communicate that. So that's number one. Number two, show respect by honoring his leadership and his decisions. Now maybe you think sometimes that you as a woman are a better decision maker than your husband. Now there might be some truth to that. There may be some truth to that, that you might see things differently with a better vision and a better intuition and a better insight and a better connection than your husband does. But who has been given the leadership? It's still your husband. So he is assigned to make the final decision. So therefore be careful that when you share your insights, that you are not turning it into a disrespecting, usurping action. Praise his good decisions. Why? Remember? Respect grid. That makes us feel good and want to make us invest more when we are feeling respected. That's why guys work so much harder for their boss. And when his boss has some overtime, they're not only thinking about dollars. Maybe they do that too a little bit. But what they mostly think about, respect. They get some admiration for what they're doing. So again, if you can turn that secret into an asset in your own family life, you praise him for his good decisions, and you accept his bad decisions with submission, thinking, we all learn from our mistakes. I think he will learn from it too. Trust God a little bit more. If the decision is a mistaken decision, he took it, you gave him that room, then trust God to turn it into some positive thing. Even though it may cost a little bit more money, maybe a little bit difficult, whatever, think through long term. If he feels the wrong of his own decision, and if he feels he's ignored your advice, then he will learn next time. Yeah, we learn from our failures. I read a study the other day of the CEOs in this country. And what makes all CEOs the most successful men? What made them so successful is that they continue to fail, but refuse to be defeated. I forgot now, W-40. You heard of that stuff, right? You spray on the... Why is it called W-40? What's it called? WD-40. You know why it's called WD-40? No. Because the guy tried 39 times to get it. And on the 40th, he had it. You didn't realize that? I didn't know either. But that's really the story behind it. 39 times, he tried to make the right combination of the stuff. And number 40 was it. Yeah? If you,
would that be breaking your ego?
Okay, let me repeat the question for a moment for those listening at home, right? So your decision, you've discussed it, you've given your input as a wife, the husband still makes a decision, turns out to be a bad decision. Now what? What do I do as a wife now?
Right.
Now, imagine you do this. I told you! What's that going to do to him?
Well, it's going to crush your ego.
Yeah, definitely. So, maybe it's a better thing. You know what? Really sorry that this turned out custard. This didn't turn out well, this choice that we made. You were part of it. Even though you had to let him go, you were still part of it. Yeah? Give him not a feeling of more negativity because he feels that already.
So yeah? You take the blame along with him because you're
right. And what can we learn from this now for the next time? Yeah? Take it then in a positive light. And believe me, he's already seen he failed, and he already seen he was stupid for not listening to you. But you know, to acknowledge that is a big thing for us, because that goes against our respect grid. Yes?
And that's why the Bible speaks about a gracious
true.
It takes a lot of grace.
Takes a lot of grace.
Not really rub those things
in. Yep, absolutely. So again, since men are very sensitive to perceive criticism as contempt, this is an important line to moment put in your mind. The moment we criticize men, we feel that as contempt. So you have to be wise, women. I'll give you some wisdom here today of how you deal with us men. What is the wisest way to share with him your concern about decisions that you're making? And here it's ideal, but let's try it. First, you need to choose your time well when to bring it up. So when Mr. walks in from his work, and you just dash him to him and says, you know what, we want to talk about this thing tonight because this is not going right now. Right time, good time. What do you think, Shane? Good time? Bad time. Don't do anything like that. That's how dynamite is invented. Yeah, so that's not the right time. Choose your time well. Secondly, once you've found this time that he is a bit settled, you come up to him and says, you know, George, I want to talk to you about issue A. Just say that, issue A. I want to talk to you about issue A. And you explain what issue A is without judgments, without anything else. And then you add to that, when is a good time that we can talk about this? Now, 9 out of 10 times, the guys will say, okay, a little bit later. Why do they say that? Don't want to? They have to think about it. We need to think about it. You've been thinking about it the whole time already. That's not fair. So you tell him, when is it a good time for you to talk about it? Maybe he says, well, you know, tonight. Tonight. Okay. When is tonight? That is this same day, tonight. Okay? Fine. Now, what's going to happen between then and then? Between this moment and then? Pardon? They're going to chew their fingers off. Did I hear that right? They're going to chew their fingers off. You're correct. They're already thinking about this whole problem without your face in front of them, without your voice in their ear. But they're thinking about this problem. And we men love to solve our own problems in our own cave. We don't want women in that cave. So when you finally come to the time that you meet, half the problem is solved. Because they already figured it out that you are really right. But for us to come to that position that you are really right is a big issue for us. Because it's our respect that's at the scale. Yeah? Make sense? Oh man, if you only would know how much problem we would solve with that. Now, secondly, when you have set the time, be reasonable. Then as you come to the meeting, use what my wife would call that, the sandwich approach. You know what that is? You begin with praise. Okay? You find something positive. And that's actually not Michelle's approach. That is Paul's approach. When Paul writes a letter to the Corinthians, he has a whole list, a whole vast list of problems to deal with. What does he do first? I praise you. For every occasion I think about you, I thank God for you people. Sandwich approach. Then he comes to the problem. And he ends it with the other part of the sandwich. Praise again. Yeah? The point is, you don't want to berate each other. You want to make him not only feel good, you want to make him also a workable person. And if you show respect and appreciation, you open his heart also for the issues that you are dealing with. In your talk, use I phrases instead of you phrases. Right? You did this and you did that. What's that going to do? It's going to take your weapons out. But if you say I phrase, well, I feel really concerned and I feel upset and I cannot handle this, then it is not in his court. It's I'm the problem, or I have an issue, and how can you help me? And lastly, of course, focus on the problem and instead of on the person or on the failure. And one more thing, ladies. You are, especially those of you who are with children all day long, what we sometimes do as women that we don't realize is we begin to talk to our husbands the way we talk to our kids. Especially when you're with kids all day long. And you give them directions and directions and directions. And then you are turning around and you give directions and directions and directions again. And I will be honest with you, we men don't like that. Correct, guys? So don't adopt this way you speak to your kids, because now you're an authority figure. And then turn around and do the same thing to your husband. Yeah, I'm giving you some keys here of how to keep this all sane and well. Now, number three, show respect to his insights, his wisdom, and his experience. Yes, we men love to share our wisdom with you. But we always pick the wrong time to do it. You know what I'm talking about. You come to your husband and you say, oh, it's been such a horrible day today. The kids were just all over the place and nothing went right and blah, 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 blah. And here you butt in and he says, yeah, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And, you know, if you just arrange it this way and that way, how do you women feel about that? Now, what you do is obviously, we are doing wrong, by the way, guys. They don't want to hear our advice. They want to hear our ear. They want us listening. They don't want to hear what we say. They want to be listened to. But on the other hand, we feel really good about it if you do ask our advice. If you come to us and says, you know what? What are your thoughts about this? How do you think we could solve this? How can I deal with this issue? So ask for his insights and his thoughts on the matters that you face as a wife and as a mother and as an individual. Why is that? We men love to help. It makes us feel respected when you ask for it. Number four, show respect by accepting our ways of companionship. Now, I'm sure you're going to laugh about this. You ever consider sitting next to your husband and not talking? We love that. We love to have quiet companionship sometimes and not talking your ear off the whole time. Shoulder time. Perfect. That's exactly the companionship that we guys sometimes like. I know when you ladies talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Right? We guys don't do that. We sometimes like you to sit with us, maybe when we're fixing up something, like we're fixing up the car. You know what we love? You sit in the chair and look at us and don't talk. And why is that? Because you're showing respect to us and you are respecting our way of communication. It's sometimes just nice and silent. Now, this sounds it's very cheap. It doesn't cost you. You can even take your embroidery along. And sit there and just look at us. And we'll do the work. We do the painting. We do the fixing of the car. And all once in a while you say, wow, you're doing a really great job. Makes us even feel better. And why is this? Because we men are men who think to the respect grid. Yeah? Now, this is an eye-opening thing perhaps for you. Obviously, it doesn't work the other way around, does it, man? They don't want you to sit there. They want to talk to you. So when it's their time for companionship, you just prepare to listen. Number five, this is also an important way, show respect for the fact that his need for sexual intimacy is totally different than yours. We know that we as men, husbands, are more physical than emotional. When it comes to our sexuality. Yeah, we men crave sexual, physical activity as a way to feel close, while women prefer emotional closeness. And you don't as much desire for sexual closeness until you feel emotionally close. That is your way as women. And I've said it, I'll say it in this very plain way. That's why women don't go visit prostitutes. Because it doesn't really work. Because it's an emotional experience rather than a sexual experience. Right? But for men, it is a sexual experience. It can be with any woman. Yet we have that need. That is the way God created us. I do not know exactly why the statistics are so alarmingly big nowadays for women in pornography. The numbers are staggering. How many women are getting involved in pornography? But for men to go in pornography, they can do that easier because this is not an emotional experience. But yet what they look for in pornography is closeness. Somehow, strangely, they look for that. Totally wrong, totally ineffective, totally wrong and sinful, of course. But they look for closeness. That is how we as men are. And you can show respect to the fact that we as men aren't wired like you are wired. So you gain tremendous by rendering us to do benevolence even when you don't feel like it. As woman, you may also be tired, and you will be. We as husband may never demand sex. No, we may not. But by virtue of your marriage vow, we are entitled to it. That's how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 7. Let the woman render due benevolence to her husband, and the husband unto the wife, vice versa. But in this case, our needs as males are different than your needs as females. And you need to respect that difference. Also in your marriage life. So there may be times, women, you need to deny your own needs as you wish to minister to him first. And maybe you don't feel like physical intimacy, but it means a lot when you proactively minister and take initiative. That means a lot to us men, when you take the initiative and just indeed overstep your own feeling, realizing that this creature next to you is differently wired than you are as a female. Now, that's a respect and the showing of that respect. So again, when a wife refuses to have sexual intimacy with her husband, how do we feel as men? We feel disrespected. We feel it as a contempt of our person. Yeah, we feel that as uncaring. So better it is to choose to love. Remember, love is a choice. In this case too. Sometimes contrary to all the feelings you have. So better to choose to love him in the way that he seeks it. Instead of saying no. Oh, that's very disrespectful to us men. But you say, yeah, but wait a moment, Pastor. There's a lot of things he's done. Well, that's okay. As you hold him, and as you caress him, you may speak to him and says, you know, George, this is not quite as easy for me to do today as you think it is for me, but I will do it. But there's a lot of hurt here. There's a lot of distance and coldness in my heart at this moment. And I cannot share this with you in the fullest extent as you do, because I have burdens in my heart. Yeah? So now what you're doing, you're showing respect to his need, but you're also indeed creating the environment in which you are telling him, look, there's issues that need to be resolved. Jay Adams has a great picture of this. Jay Adams says, imagine this marriage bed with suitcases full of stones. Every issue that is not resolved in the day between a husband and a wife becomes a suitcase of stones and it was thrown in the marriage bed. Now try to imagine to have a relationship together in a bed like that. It doesn't work. Yeah, maybe we men could do it, but you couldn't as a female. The emotions are so broken and so distressed that you cannot experience this. But yeah, your man is still, your husband is still needy. Yeah, so then you need to find that balance between those two. We need help in this regard. And of course, you need to teach your husband then. If he is insensitive and has no regard for that vow, well, you have to teach him. Just as I have been trying to point out in these last sessions. And then lastly, in this respect, to be invited to the lovemaking feast by the wife is one huge way in which you show respect. Yeah, and again, let this area not be undiscussed. Lastly then, show respect in conflict resolution. That's the harder one. 81% of all husbands say that they feel no respect when there comes a conflict in the family or in the marriage life. 81%, that's a big number. And I don't think that 81% of these wives, of these 81% husbands, intends to be disrespectful. I don't have that feeling. I don't know if I fit in the 81%. But there have been times that Michelle and I have had a conflict where I also felt disrespected by her mannerism. Though that rarely happens, let me just add that real quickly to it. It has happened at times. And the same thing that I spoke about a little early, what I feel like doing then is walking right out of that place. Because I can handle that. Then there's something that really begins to stew inside, and I says, I'm backing out of this. And I'll go back to my study, try to pretend I'm working, but I'm not working at all. Because I can't live with any conflicts, you see. And she's trying to pretend to work too, but she can't work either. So it's not very long, we'll meet in the port somewhere. They're trying to sort this out. But that's how it should be, right? But the reaction of disrespect can be in the manner, can be in the voice, can be in the tone, can be in the word choice, without you realizing. Yeah, you women have a strength with words that is far superior than us men. Really is. And when you become very disrespectful in a time of conflict, boy, we're on the run. We cannot handle that. So, women, we may fall in unloving words and unloving action. You may fall in disrespectful words and disrespectful actions. So, repeat. Often in conflicts, we only see it from our viewpoint. We focus on our needs, and this is what I want, this is what I feel, this is what it is, and that's not how it is, really. So imagine you have the next conflict. As a husband, you see your wife coming. There's something brewing. You can see it on her face, right? That's not right. So now what you do, instead of running away, you run and you come close. And you say, okay, what is it? Let me hear you. Don't say much. Don't say anything, really. It's probably best. Just listen. Don't argue back while she pours out. Yeah, and sometimes that's the best way to diffuse. And I am still learning, okay, after 21 years, because as Michelle comes raising an issue, I go in self-justification mode. You know what I mean? I know why I did that, and I know I was pretty good, and I had good reasons for that. It does not help. If I do that, what's going to happen? We get a conflict. It goes worse. So the best thing is to let my wife and let you, for a moment as women, pour out your feelings, your thoughts, and as you do, what are you doing, by the way, when you do that? Showing respect, but you're also sorting out. Sorting out. And so sometimes already that's the end of the conflict. Let me, one thing to point out, women. Sometimes you women like to keep arguing your point until when? Until death. Okay. Yeah, you women have a way of doing that. You just keep on going and keep on coming and keep on coming. And we men already are miles ahead of you. And you're still keeping on. So may I just a word of caution, ladies. If you have said it once, we've heard it. We have really heard it. We may have not taken it on board, because that takes us men a little while to process. So if you say, this is what it is, and look, I'll come back in half an hour and walk away. Wow, you do us a favor. And you give us this half hour space. And let us process this and come back half an hour. I guarantee you, most of the time you win. But if you don't do that, most of the time both of you lose. Because it is by us perceived as disrespect. So, unconditional respect. Display as a wife a respectful facial expression and tone when your hubby fails to be the man he promised to be for you. That's hard. That's right. It's also hard sometimes to show unconditional love, I guarantee you. That's also hard, but you also want that, and we have to give it as men. So while confronting his unloving behavior, without endorsing any callous attitude and actions, while we deserve a measure of anger, don't show disrespect. For example, I read this example and I thought that was quite nice. I wish I could say it like this. I wish I would hear it like this. No, I should say that I do hear it like this quite often, but not quite in these words. It says, this is an example that we read this morning, Michelle and I have a book that we're reading about our boy and respect, because it's interesting that mothers and boys don't often do this either. Boys need respect too. They need different things than girls. So in this example, it was like this. I love and respect you, boy, but what you have done is not lovable, thoughtful, or respectable. Now, it's quite nice how this introductory sentence, I respect you and I love you, but what you did was not lovable, thoughtful. I'm actually angry at you for what you did. I experience it as hurt and disdain. So I want to talk to this with you calmly and clearly, and let me know also when you are ready for this talk. So imagine that you talk to your boy like that. And I have one of those 11-year-old boys in my house who is beginning in that stage of, you know, he knows everything and the whole world is wrong and he's right. Right? You have those fellows in your home. So what does that boy need? He needs respect. He's a man. And I need to show him that as well. And you as a mother need to show him that as well. Again, same thing that you do for your husband, do for your boys. And then I remind you of the scripture of 1 Ephesians 4. Yes, women, you may be angry with us. Be angry. And what's the next part of the verse? And sin not. And how do you sin? By showing that anger disrespectfully. That's of course true for us as males, true for you as females. So let's close up with our conclusions, which I think are self-evident. Submission and respect is a spiritual response to God. Wives, the Lord says, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. So, this is a test whether you will love the Lord if you show the respect to your husband. Any violation of God's original design brings no good. Secondly, submission and respect is a voluntary action. Man, this is for you mostly. Headship does not mean I have a divine right to order or command my wife. I don't have that at all. And that's not what headship means, that you can command or order your wife. Headship is leadership. Headship is servanthood. Headship is sacrificial love. But headship is not, I can order you and command you. We are never anywhere commanded to force our wife into compliance, submission, obedience, or respect. Once it gets to that state, you probably will get compliance, but you'll never get respect. Yeah, so let's as husbands be very careful how that we exercise our authority. Where commands come in, happiness goes out. Now, as a wife, of course, we should also never give our husbands occasion to command or to forbid us to do anything. I love the statement I wrote on your outline, his known wish should be, except in the cases of conscience, become the law to her. Yeah? You must embrace your husband's wish. Maybe you don't always agree with his opinion on certain things of leadership, but you must, except in cases of conscience, make that your law. That's hard, indeed, because, of course, we're all fallen creatures and our husbands are not perfect, and therefore it can sometimes be a hard chore. And then lastly, as husband, we should also never wish or expect anything that may not be perfectly proper for the wife to render. So therefore, husbands, we should always consult our wife. We should include them. We should ask them if this is okay, if this is acceptable. Consider her wishes. So the concluding quote from Barnes, I thought, was nice to add. Husband, he should remember that she has a special claim of justice on him. For him, she has left her parents' home, forsaken the friends of her youth, endowed him with whatever property she may have, sunk her name in his, confided her honor, her character, and her happiness to his virtue. And the least that he can do for her is to love her and strive to make her happy. This was what she asked when she consented to become his. And a husband's love is what she still asks to sustain and cheer her in the trials of life. If she has not this, whither shall she go for comfort? And then in conclusion, great deeds rarely occur. The happiness of life depends little on the great deeds, but mainly on the little acts of kindness in life. We need them everywhere. We need them always. And eminently in the marriage relationship, there is a need for gentleness and love, returning each morning, beaming in the eye, dwelling in the heart, through the lifelong day. I hope you have gained some understanding, dear women, and the home construction exercises, they will give you plenty for another month. I conclude with this tonight, so let us, is there any questions yet? If not, then let's together close with prayer. Lord, will thou graciously bless what we have this evening together considered. What a important subject and what a impossible task to show unconditional love as well as unconditional respect. And Lord, it is true that we all need respect and love, but yet thou hast created us so vastly different in our primary need. Help thou us also in our marriage life to show that respect and to show that love. O Lord, thou hast designed this so closest relationship between human beings to generate happiness and the joy, and made it prove to become that also in our own marriage life. Guide us home safely, pardon our sins, and cleave to all what we have done and do. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.